so much questions, so many different dissensions. It's all because God is not put first above us. He's like one of us. So in praying and spending time with this, I came up with this diagram that maybe will help a bit, especially for you to maybe show this to your family and friends or whoever, but I'll explain it as we go along. If you have that in front of you, then this is the act of creation. God creates everything, visible and invisible. Nothing that he did not create was not created. And God, in creating, creates all things through Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. So there in that act of creation, when God creates, and no one dictates to him what he has to create or how it needs to be done or how it needs to go, it's all in its perfection in creation of God giving himself, pouring himself out, that habitual grace, the life of God. It goes, again, everything is through him, with him, and in him, and it's by the Holy Ghost. So what is created first and foremost? Material matter, the earth, and there the dominion of men. And also created are the heavens, which are not material. And there the dominion of the angels. Both men and angels have souls. And they're made in the image and likeness of God with their freedom to love. One material, the other immaterial. But both of them created by God. And then as you see here, it comes back together again into one in the Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church is both in heaven and on earth. And so what we see here in the oneness is God and his church, one holy Catholic and apostolic. Even the most primal creation, the earth and the heavens, are separate. There's two. It creates a division. As you know, when the plan was revealed to Lucifer that Jesus Christ would take on flesh, he refused in any way whatsoever to worship or lower himself before any man. And therefore, there was a division in heaven. On earth, the divisions happen because of sin. There are many of them. But that doesn't affect either one of those divisions, the Holy Catholic Church. And then as you see here, with the church is created by God. The church existed as all things existed in God's mind before creation. You and I, before creation, we were already created in God's mind before we had a physical creation, a spiritual creation. Same with the Catholic Church. But in the Catholic Church, there is no division. There are not two churches, one for men on earth, one for the angels in heaven. There's not two churches, one for men, one for women, because there's the next divide between men. Men are divided between men and women. It caused this division that keeps coming. But with the Catholic Church then, and its establishment here on earth, but it's also in heaven, comes all of those things that belong to the Catholic Church. Divine revelation, the Mass, and with that the Missal and everything belonging to the Mass. The sacraments, all seven of them. The chair of St. Peter, and that belongs to it, the doctrines and the dogma, protection of the doctrines and dogma. Canon law with its jurisdiction, and the culture, which is family life. All of these things exist as a one whole in the Catholic Church. Even though they have these divisions there, they're only to be understood in the light of the oneness of the Church. And the church is only to be understood that it is a creation and that God has created this out of nothing, by himself, without any man, without any help. Because the church is the only institution which is on heaven and in heaven as well as on earth, it supersedes both of them in its relationship to God. And so the question has been, and continues to be, all these divisions. How do we bring it unity out of all these divisions? Let's take one, because we've talked about this many, many times, and it still is a huge problem. The Mass and the Missal. The Missal, which is there, tells me what to say and what to do. And I do not do anything that it doesn't tell me what to say or what to do. Therefore, it's not just some side thing. It's not some splitting of hairs. It's not something that, why can't you all just get along and forget about and let them do theirs and you do yours and not cause any problems? Well, the reason why is this. The reason that there's division in this is not in heaven, for the angels are not divided against the church or God. Those who are divided are now gone. But man remains divided. So it's here in the material on earth. So how are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to find unity? If there is a division, say, between the 62 Missal and that prior to the Council, up to the Council of Trent and prior to that, how are we going to find unity in persons' interpretations of divine revelation or the scriptures when so many people have so many different varying opinions and beliefs? How are we going to find unity in the seven sacraments and all that that entails? What about the chair of St. Peter and the dogmas and doctrines? Canon law, this is a huge one that people use all the time. And jurisdiction. What about family life, culture, how we as Catholics are going to live, and so forth? Well, there's only one logical way. You look to that which is not divided. You look to that which has no divisions in it. That's the church. The church has no divisions. If there is a division, it can no longer be the Catholic Church. It is something else. Why? Because the only other thing that we see on this chart that is one is God. And God cannot be divided. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Trinity itself, even though being three persons, is one God. And so if you're going to have unity, which means the wholeness or oneness, you look to the Catholic Church and ultimately to God for that union. And there you can unite men who have different experiences, different understandings, and so forth. And there you can solve the problems that men will create by taking divine revelation, the Mass, the sacraments, their understanding of the chair of St. Peter, canon law, and applying their own experience to it. That is the only way. There cannot be unity by trying to find a way to bring all these things together with men of this time and this place. Now, what will happen here and why we're in the mess we are in is because the modernists have removed God from the top and placed him on that line along with God, divine revelation, Mass, sacraments, chair of St. Peter. And the modernists say we need to come together in unity and decide what from God we want to believe and put it over here in this category. And what of the Mass, and which missal, and put it here. And which sacraments, and how we understand them. And what the chair of St. Peter is, and canon law and culture. And create now another church. A more perfect church. Once that happened, which is called the New Order, Novus Ordo, then every other church that refuses to find unity in God and his church becomes a part of that church or that synagogue, including the semi-traditionalists, including those with the indult, and now including the Society of St. Pius X and the Fraternity of St. Peter, simply by the fact that if we were all to be united, and we could be, it would be that each man in humility submits himself to the Catholic Church and to God. And if he were to do that, there would be nothing that would divide us. Nothing. we would be united. But because there's this other church created, this other option, which has put God as an equal player in all of it, not as the supreme creator, not as the absolute and supreme authority, not that he has, when he speaks, every word is perfect and is meant to be perfect. This is a problem why we, who are striving and are not perfect yet in understanding this, but are striving to understand it, find such difficulty in convincing men that unity is possible, but not on their doctrine of God. It's not possible. Now remember, last week I spoke about providence. This is what St. Alphonsus de Liguori lays down as a fundamental principle before everything else, he says, God's divine providence. So let me ask you, providence means to provide for. Who can provide better for you? God or men? I mean, everybody says, I can see, oh, of course, God. Then why do you not receive it from him? Why do you look to men to provide? Remember, when men provide for you, that's called socialism. God, by his divine providence, has given to us his word, divine revelation, the Mass, including the Missal, the seven sacraments, the chair of St. Peter, of which St. Peter is sitting on, and exists because the church is in heaven as well as on earth, the code, the canon law, which is not really the code, but the jurisdiction to speak for the law, and the culture, the Catholic culture. All of these are revealed by God. All of this is part of his divine providence for us. And what man would ever say that what God has provided and the means he has provided for us is deficient? That it needs men today to interpret it and tell us what it is that God provides for us. To say that the means that God reveals to us are not correct means, or necessary. You don't need to do all those things. All of that is to slap God in the face for what he offers you. What if God, by his providence, God by his providence, in order to make sure that you got to Mass every Sunday, gave you a brand new gray ghost Rolls Royce. And you say, no, I'll drive my old Clunker. Why would anybody ever do that? Why would anybody ever reject the perfection, in this case, car, but in God's case, his grace, and all of the things of the Mass that he reveals to the church, the perfection of the church? Why would you reject that in order to keep what you have, which is always breaking down, and is always in need of repair, and is always not getting you where you need to go? So listen here to what St. Alphonsus says. If the world is not yet Christian, remember we're talking about the material world, if the great number of peoples, instead of walking in the way of light that leads to the mountain of Zion, Zion is the church. It's all throughout the Old Testament and the New, because the church didn't just come into existence in the New Testament. It's all through the Old Testament, just as the Christ is, and so forth. Instead of walking in the way of light that leads to the mountain of Zion, wretchedly drag themselves along the miry roads of error and of vice. This pitiful state is so far from being the outcome of God's design, that it is, on the contrary, in open opposition to his will. So, if you would ever receive something less from God than what he gives by his divine revelation, and that would be blasphemy. For God's word is perfect. There is nothing missing, nothing out of order. It is perfect. Blasphemy is when you take God's word and interpret it in a different way, understand something different, and still apply that to God. So if you would not receive anything that God gives us, including the church with its missal and the chair of St. Peter with its dogmas and doctrines and so forth, then you will commit this sin of blasphemy. And if you were to not accept God's divine providence in the sacraments, which are his life and grace, that's sacrilege. And if you were not to accept God's church as God provides it for you, and the means of salvation that he provides for you, that is heresy. And so we have now before us Paul the VI, as I mentioned before, who in one sentence commits heresy, blasphemy, and sacrilege to say that the Mass is no longer to be understood as a sacrifice. He, in doing so, had already taken that Novus Ordo Church, and now he was just going to promote the new Mass and the new Missal to go along with it. Taking what they want and they decide is necessary, and putting this new church together, borrowing from what's really there, and then giving it to you. And if you take it, then you slap God in the face for his providence. There is no salvation. Salvation is by one means, and God perfectly has revealed that and provided the means for us. To reject any of those is to reject all of it and to reject your salvation. The apostle proves, and when he says the apostle, he means St. Paul, proves this truth to us in the manner most convincing. To doubt it would require us to renounce our reason as men and our faith as Christians. To doubt it would be to renounce your reason as a man and your faith as a Christian. That means you would be an animal with no possibility of salvation. No man, unless passion sways him, can persuade himself that the wretched state to which we see a great part of mankind reduced can come from any design of God. This is what they find. They have to fix it now. It's all the Catholic Church, as you hear by them constantly. This church is has fallen apart. Is no, you know, not good. We have to fix it. We have to come in now and repair it, because it won't work for man anymore. For thus God, without other motive than that of using his all-powerful will, would refuse to a great number of his reasonable creatures the means of knowing and serving them. So this is what Calvin did. Even the Lutherans reject Calvin, but Calvin is the father of all of the evangelical Protestants. And remember, Calvin believed that God created some men to damn them, to show his justice, and he created other men to show his mercy by saving them. And if that is true, then St. Alphonsus of Liguori will say, he is not God, but he is a devil and a demon. But the common sense of mankind has treated this blasphemy as it deserves. And even the disciples of the blasphemer have entered their protests against it. Really, we cannot but understand that. If God is free to create or not to create, it is a necessity for him to give the beings he creates an end worthy of himself and according to their own nature. He would be wanting at once in wisdom, in justice, and in goodness if he gave his reasonable creatures faculties that might reach the infinite, along with a measureless need of happiness, and at the same time denied them the means absolutely necessary for gaining this only and essential object of their aspirations. that means is the Catholic Church. So if he were to not give us everything that was necessary, leave it to chance that men would supply what he could not or refused to, that's putting God on that equal level, then man later on, through the process of evolution, when he becomes more and more intellectual, more and more brought to knowledge by science, more and more fully man, or more of a bishop, or more of a supreme pontiff, he will then be able to fill in what God is deficient in. That's what the modernists believe. They don't say it that way, but they say it in what they believe. If the errors and the crimes of men were the outcome of the willful design of God, God himself would be responsible for them. Consequently, he would cease to be holy, to be true, to be God, and would be evil. This our created reason easily grasps and understands. But God himself has made it known to us most touchingly by the mouth of his Son, who is his Word in the same substance as himself and his uncreated reason. This desire for our salvation has passed from all eternity, from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of the Son. It is the divine seed, and the blessed fruit it has brought forth is the incarnation. To doubt that God wishes the salvation of all men is to doubt not only the wisdom and goodness of Jesus Christ, but even of his existence. For Jesus Christ is nothing, or else he is the only and universal Savior. So our Lord said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to save souls. What means? How? What did he provide for man by his providence that would not be deficient in any way whatsoever to help man to come to that end? Jesus Christ unfolds to us his Father's will, and the only aim of the mission he himself has received from the Father, and the cause of the seeming want of success of his mission, to save souls, to bring back to the fold the wandering sheep, to bring home again all God's children scattered through the wilderness of the world, divided, to spread the fire broadcast over the earth and utterly enkindle it with flames of the love of God. This was the object of his desire, the work he had unceasingly before his eyes, to the fulfillment of which he sacrificed himself without reserve. But it was not in the design of providence, God provided, that he would accomplish this work by himself alone. There must be others to work along with him, and these co-workers, called Christians, he shall not find so long as he is on the earth. The food for which he hungers, none seem to give him. And then listen to this. Lifted up on the cross, the altar of sacrifice. So, your crazy priest there has just said the sacrifice of the cross and the Mass are the same thing. That if you deny one, you deny the other. That is the source. This comes from St. Alphonsus of Liguori, didn't make this up. This has been passed down. Lifted up on the cross, the altar of sacrifice, he looks out upon the earth and finds few souls that do not withstand all the attractions of his love. He leaves the earth with a cry of distress from his mercy poured out in vain, I thirst. So, as we continue to understand a bit better, what is the role that we play? We understand that is only the role of submission. That we submit ourselves to the Church and therefore to God in the unity, which is the only unity found in all of creation. And the mission is what we receive. This thirst for the salvation of all men, the church, there on Calvary as in the persons of Mary, John, and the holy women, will take to herself as her dearest inheritance, the salvation of men. On Calvary you find our Blessed Mother, the church, St. John, the priest, and the holy women which represent the congregation of Christians. And to the successors of St. John, as priest, and the holy women, the congregation, she will transmit it, that is, to the twofold apostleship, which until the end, shall share the fulfilling of the work of Jesus Christ. To the priesthood, Christ has given the office, the authority, and to the priesthood, he has given the zeal. And to the apostleship of the word and an apostleship of prayer, he gives that to the laity.